Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Oh, tonight we got them, Goldie the Sulk and JC.
Disgusting to play.
And it starts right now.
Oh, welcome back to another episode of A Typical Disgusting Display, a podcast for writers, by writers who hate writing. Episode 94, we're creeping up on the 100th.
Ooh.
We got to have some big plans for that. Huge.
I know, what are we going to do?
No way we make it.
First joke of the day.
Oh, and he's back on the board. One day without an accident. Flip the sign. After last week, I was too afraid to come up with any bad jokes to start out the show. You realize that was all like a prank on you.
Yeah, he had to. It seemed like your reaction.
No, you thought it was good.
Oh, no, it was good. And I've been hearing about how good it was. But
because of Goldie.
A lot of people work for you. Just remember that. When you've been hearing about how good something is.
What do you mean?
Are you saying
that people are scared of their boss?
Are you saying that Allie Raisin works for me? We love you, Allie.
Oh, boss. She listens to so the funny show this week. Morning. Apple crumbles. Oh, my God, boss. You're so.
That's exactly how she talks.
My funny bone, yeah. How do you think of him, boss?
A 1930s newsie. Allie listens to the show every week. Thank you for listening, Allie.
Hi, Allie.
Yeah, so I had a kind of a. Goldie, we talked about this a little bit during the week because it was so humorous to me. I'll let you behind the curtain of my life a little bit here. So the wife and I, Tal and I, we found a perfect 5-minute window to be intimate, one does in a married couple. And so there we are. We're doing the deed, if I can call it a deed. It's a very brief, small deed. And, you know, you don't really notice necessarily your wife's hair. Like what a woman is doing to their hair, I think, is kind of important to them. And I feel like it's noticed by certain people, but maybe not by husbands necessarily.
For you?
So I this is just context for what's about
no
to
idea
happen.
What you're talking about, but go on.
Yeah, so, right. Like you just don't notice all the little things they do with their hair. If it's a little different, I'm probably oblivious. Anyway, maybe it's just me. So we're, being intimate. And my hand is behind her head, and I feel that she's got a ponytail. And I'm thinking to myself, all right, it's time to live up to the me that I was talking about when we were doing those intimacy cards when we were on vacation. Like, you know, I'm taking the note. Take charge more. Like, yes, I got it. So there's this ponytail, and, you know, we're being close. So I just take the opportunity to give it, you know, just kind of a nice tug. Not like anything to you know, write home about, but just like, hey, I'm here taking charge like you asked.
Yeah,
exactly. So I'm not really getting much of a response, but that's okay. I'm like, I don't care. I'm taking charge anyway.
Oh, my God.
And then I give it even a couple more tugs during, and I'm thinking to myself, what a wild man I am. Just like, I'm living the life of my intimacy cards. Oh, yes, we are. It's happening. So then we're finished, or at least I'm finished. And
finished.
Yeah, so we're both finished. So she gets up from the bed. And in my still clenched fist is the tassel of a throw pillow that was behind her the whole time. And I had no idea. I had been just like, yeah, here we go.
Oh, my God.
And then may I ask, in her hand, was there a cheese curl?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I thought I had it the whole time. Oh, my. Yes. So that was, a little fun moment.
Did you tell her? Well, now you're telling her.
No. I did in the moment. Because I had to, because I was literally shocked. Like, what? Oh, my. That's not your hair.
And when I said take charge, I didn't mean beat the shit out of a pillow.
I know.
While you were doing it.
Oh, God. That's funny.
Yeah. So that was a little moment from my week.
Yeah.
And now, Goldie, I know we've both been enjoying the NBA playoffs. Certainly the Celtics are moving on.
Yeah.
But you've been watching with a kind of like a different attitude this year.
Well, I consume a lot of sports podcasts as well, because when I'm walking the dog, it's just something I know I can listen to without really listening and like to keep them on. But
yeah.
And Boston's one of these cities that the fans are always eager to congratulate themselves for how good they are. Like,
yes,
we're the best fans somehow.
We're great.
You were really good at, paying a lot for tickets.
We know the game.
Yeah, we know the game. We understand it. And so in that Sixers-Celtics game 7, Celtics are blowing them out in the second half, and the fans are going crazy. And the announcers are saying, and I've noticed this in several different games when there's a big shot of their team is ahead, and then the fans are all up, and then the announcers will go, and these Boston fans are some of the best fans. It's like, oh really? When they're up 40 and things are going amazingly,
yes,
and they know they're going to the next round, they're great fans. Like, show the Sixers fans. If they're still up and going crazy, those are great fans. Like, you don't get credit for just being happy when everything's great. That doesn't anything about you great. You're not great.
Yeah. You're a fair weather bandwagon fan.
Yes.
Yes.
The mark of a great fan is when, the Sixers plane lands at 2 a.m. and you greet them at the airport after they lost. Okay.
Yes.
You've earned it. But you don't earn it by joining a fucking mob.
I did. It's funny. I was watching the same game. I remember when they said, listen to these fans. They're terrific here.
Yeah.
Up 30.
And then it's like, Mark Wahlberg, who's been given a ticket, isn't a great fan. It's like, you never have to encounter a single other person on the way to your very exclusive seat. We'll keep everyone away from you and bring you not the standard stadium food, but the special food we have for you. And then on your way out, you'll have security and you'll get to touch the players. Oh, what a great fan he is. What a man of the people. Oh, he loves the team more than anyone, taking his free VIP experience. He's great.
Yeah, being the only person allowed on the field after the Super Bowl. What a fan.
Oh, what a fan. Best. One of us.
Yeah. Man of the people.
Can't wait to shake his hand if I'm ever allowed to.
Now, dare I ask?
I was in scenes with him in Ted for 2 weeks, never talked to me once, but okay. He's a great fan.
Boy.
Great coworker. A great fan.
Man of the people.
Say hello to your mother for me. That was the SNL bit, right? That was very funny. So now, but just to talk about it for a second, because you brought it up, we're down to the final four in the NBA. We got the Celtics, the Miami Heat, the Lakers, and the Denver Rich and Creamy Nuggets. I know your sort of new theory now is like you just kind of want to, whoever's playing great, you're kind of going to be with them, but which sort of goes against your last point. But what team out of the four are you pulling for at this point? Because they haven't even started their game.
I guess I'd kind of like to see the Nuggets win just because they've never had it before. And
how can you not say the Celtics?
I'm surprised. Yeah,
I just don't. I've relinquished my Boston fandom. I've just dropped it on the ground and said, you know what? Everyone from Boston's so proud of, like, and I never forgot my roots. I'm very proud. I've forgotten my roots. I don't even know where I'm from anymore.
I can imagine my dad loving this part of the podcast.
I am ditching it. I know you like that. I'm not part of it. But I just watching the games, I think it's hilarious that, you know, the Warriors and Lakers had a not even that competitive series, and everyone said, well, you know, the Lakers, could they go to the finals? I think they're going to get trounced by Denver, as I think everyone will. I think Denver's by far the best team.
Wow.
We shall see. That's exciting.
Who are you rooting for?
C's.
I know.
You know, God, you set me up, you son of a bitch.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
All right, speaking of setups, let's get in to Johnny Jokes.
Well, from Hollywood, where I've always been from, here's Johnny.
Woo! Oh, yes. And away we stay. Here we go. First one. Here's a little story you might have heard. Nike co-founder Phil Knight has donated $400 million to help Portland's black community. Boy, that guy is going to be rich.
Nope.
Just one black guy in Portland. Just a joke there.
Oh.
I knew you couldn't get it. I knew.
I felt I did not want to be recorded laughing at that until I knew what it was about.
You did? You knew it?
No, I didn't get it. And then you explained it, and then it was too late to laugh.
Yeah, okay. All right, plenty more opportunities for laughter
okay.
here.
Okay.
Peloton, maybe you heard this. Peloton is recalling 2 million of its bikes after several riders were injured by the seat. The recall leaves 2 million families wondering where they'll dry their laundry. That's kind of what it's used for. Mostly. Yeah. I'm counting on a big closer today. Here we are at number three. The FDA has officially ended a ban on blood donations from people who have changed their sexual identity. Boy, talk about a transfusion.
Okay. That's funny.
And finally.
That's the joke where they go, is Johnny too old to have the show?
I did say that many times in the 80s. Family members of the author of the famous Frog and Toad children's books are now speculating that the duo are a same-sex couple. Yeah. They went on to add that if the two use a condom, they'd better rib it.
Oh.
Johnny number two.
I'm planning on a huge closer, you said.
I know, I did say that.
He did.
They'd better rib it. Frog and Toad.
All right, here we go. Apple reportedly has a new headset called Reality Pro that's a full decade ahead of anything available on the market today. Yeah, the new device is so far ahead of its time, my wife has already lost three of them.
That's vintage Johnny.
All right. A new report claims that the Kelly Clarkson show is toxic behind the scenes. Have you seen the show? It's also toxic in front of the scenes. little mean for Johnny, but you know, maybe Kelly said something about him being too old.
Did refuse to come on his show.
Well, the USDA is considering banning chocolate milk in schools. Yeah, wouldn't want those shooters getting a sugar rush. Well, I don't know if you read about this. A man's family found him dead wearing a women's swimsuit with a ping pong ball up his butt after electrocuting himself during a masturbation session gone awry.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, sad as they were, at least they finally found their ping pong ball. And finally,
now this, I've never attempted one of these before. I have a Craig Ferguson.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Oh, this is going to be great.
All right. Well, bad news, everybody. I don't know if you've heard about this. Bad news. Britney Spears' marriage is reportedly in trouble. Don't laugh! No! No! Don't laugh! No! 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 She's trying! She's had a difficult time with the conservancy and such! She's had a difficult life! You don't laugh at her! No! It's not funny! It's not funny when you have trouble in life! You've had it, I've had it! And we just sit here! She's done nothing but entertain you! So don't laugh!
Turned into Mick Jagger for a second.
I don't know where the impression
is. Amazing.
I love that. I love that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was hilarious.
Great Ferguson. Oh, that was just great. Oh, so you know, we have one of the voiceover guys on Family Guy. He's awesome. Josh Robert Thompson.
Yeah.
He
does many, many great voices. But he was like the sidekick kind of on Ferguson for years.
The skeleton. So every
I don't know why. Every time he comes on to record, I just go, oh, Josh. And he just, he does the best. Oh, Josh, you know, I can't. Yeah. We've got to get the band back together.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Oh, we have a great guest today. Former SNL head writer, writer on Girls 5 Eva, writer, an author. We have an author here.
Yes.
Co-author of the book, How to Win at Feminism, and creator and showrunner of the upcoming animated show, Praise PD. Please welcome Anna Drezin. Anna, Woo! Welcome.
Thank you very much. I do identify primarily as an author.
Yes.
I don't like for people to mention my TV credits.
Oh, sorry.
What it's about for me.
We'll edit that out. Stone Pillow. We'll edit that
out.
Yes, we established a code before the show that we're going to play the Lucille Ball quote about us having to go to the bathroom whenever we want to cut something out here. So glad we
Janice,
got that out
can
of the
we
way.
Just hear it as an example? Is it ready?
Yeah.
I has to go bathroom.
There it is. That was uttered on primetime television sometime in the 70s or the 80s. Now, Anna, I couldn't help but notice it literally in the 20 seconds before this interview started, the hair did a complete change. You did did something to your hair. What'd you do here?
This is my nightmare.
How'd you do that?
Why?
Well, okay. Here's the deal. I don't know if this has made its way to you guys, but apparently we're not supposed to have side bangs anymore.
Oh,
what? As part of the strike? Or?
It's through eye.
Wait, give Goldie time to write this down. Goldie, no side bangs. Oh, okay.
Oh.
I'm trying to do something different in my hair. You know women like they still have 80s hair on their head.
Yes.
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 Because that's how they know how to look nice.
Yes.
Right.
And they're not trying to do it a dated hairstyle. They're just like, this is how I make my face look nice with my hair.
Right.
And I haven't of course I've tried the 90s and 2000s hairstyle, but it doesn't work for my face. Okay. I'm worried that I'm doing that with 2012 hair.
Which is parted down the middle?
And so, no.
What's 2012
well,
hair?
Parted down the middle is how you are required to do it now.
Oh, yeah. I don't do that.
This is...
These are the new rules.
This is new rule. Yeah, it just is like elder millennials obsessed with what Gen Z thinks, even though it's like probably right. not what they think at all. But so I've been trying to do middle part, but yeah. I feel that I look very much like a potato. The middle part, which it's not, everybody loves potatoes. I just
love a good potato.
I think my hair is slightly thinning just right where the middle part meets my forehead.
Right.
I think I discovered that last week. So I'm trying to be brave and like, I don't know. I'm trying to switch up my hair so that I can get used to what my face looks like in the mirror with different hair without thinking I don't look nice anymore. I have to go back to rose gold Zoe Deschanel. Like,
I love this
second term.
I love hearing about this whole process. And yeah, at the risk of becoming a future appendix in How to Win at Feminism, I have noticed that the Rachel haircut is still alive and well in the middle of this country. It's like what people still ask for.
When were you in the middle of the country?
I fly over it all the time.
And
look out the window.
Have, like, very powerful binoculars where Goldie, you're seeing what's going on.
Goldie, let the people talk about hair.
New rule, if you haven't been to the middle of the country, don't comment on its hairstyles, okay?
It's alive and well. Am I wrong?
Am I wrong? I club know. Random in here.
Goldie's still mad about apple crumbles. So we're doing a little bit of that
The way I got excited when you said the strike is over soon, and the way my heart just burst through the floor into the basement when you said apple crumbles.
Yes, welcome to Goldie's world.
Yes,
and Goldie was so right. The idea that I would ever have any kind of hot tip on the strike, it reached Cape Cod. Now we know about everything.
I don't even think you'd have news about the bakery having apple crumbles.
You're right about that, too. I don't it's get true. Out to the bakery. I don't leave this property. You are correct. All right, so we've sidetracked here at the beginning on your hair. Now we understand what's going on and why there was the last minute adjustment.
Yeah, I had it all the way straight back. I thought my face looked weird. I brought my bangs down.
It didn't.
At least, and they're sort of highlighted. I paid a lady to...
The highlights look great.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, if I'm allowed to say that anymore.
Yes, you are. Yes. Okay. You actually have to now, and if you don't, it's bad. So you better be careful.
It switched. The pendulum swung.
The most humiliating thing about being a female comedy writer who gets her hair done in Beverly Hills is that you see them take pictures of the fronts of everyone else's haircut, and then your haircut, they take a picture of the back.
Oh no. That is...
I was like, you are correct.
Oh my God. Everyone else. Humiliating.
Everyone else. 11 right. years old and gorgeous.
anyway. All right. So Anna, we talked a little bit about this. We touched on it before we started here, but you are from Massapequa on Long Island.
Yes.
And you grew up there. Mm-hmm. Now, I have a couple things that whenever I feel like Massapequa. Is sort of like a... I often meet people from Massapequa, let's put it that way. Tell me if I'm wrong, the Baldwins are
the
from
Baldwins.
Massapequa.
They are from Massapequa, yes.
And okay. I had always heard this stat, maybe I'm wrong, it's a very fun way to start off an interview. I heard more American soldiers from Vietnam died that were from Massapequa than anywhere else. Like any...
What?
Like they have the biggest concentration of killed in action in Vietnam.
Wow, dark.
That's crazy.
I don't know.
What? That's wild.
Will you check that out for me next time you're home?
I will.
Wait, that's why this town is 98% women.
Oh.
That's crazy.
And did I get this right? Because sometimes the, Wikipedia can lie to everyone. Your dad, doctor and head of pharmacology... did he work in Amityville?
He did.
Okay, amazing. So you have Massapequa and the Amityville Horror.
Yeah.
Like, this is Amityville and close to where you grew up?
It's right next to it.
Oh,
yeah, it's on either side of the county border.
Did you watch that movie? Were you like, holy shit?
Well, you had a podcast that was like scary stories too. So.
Yeah, I didn't watch the original, but it was like growing up, you understood that a murder and movie happened nearby. And some parts of the movie were not right, but and some parts, of, like it was a little hazy what was real and what wasn't.
I'll say.
Yeah, listen. I mean, but I did watch the remake starring Ryan Reynolds, I believe.
Yeah, you want to watch the other one.
But I found the remake to be the scariest movie I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, wow.
Intentionally?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wait, or I'll say it made me more scared at night than any other movie I've ever seen.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. So Yeah. What about it scared you so much?
There's just one scene where there's a little girl, ghost, who has a hole in her head. I don't want to say it's a... It starts with a B and ends with an ullet, but you can't say...
You can say that.
But it's so early.
Well, they're listening to it whenever they want, you know. So.
That's true.
We don't know. It might be late.
Anyway, this little girl ghost grabs Ryan Reynolds' finger and puts it in her bullet hole in her head.
Oh,
whoa.
And I saw that and was like, well, that's what I'll be thinking about.
Yes. That's entertainment.
Yeah, thanks, folks. Stars.
And then the little girl ghost looked right at camera and said, I has to go bathroom.
That's oh, shit. I missed it. Sorry. Like,
what could it be? How do we know? well, you'll be in for a treat when you watch the original because it is 5% scary and 95% hilarious looking at James Brolin with his like beard and kind of get up of the late 70s and thinking, oh, holy shit, Barbara Streisand picked this guy.
Like, oh, wow. Okay.
What a sex pot.
She said it's him.
Yep. So watch that when you get a chance. But this is all in your neighborhood. So
can I just bring up a Barbara Streisand fact?
Oh. Please.
you were bringing up a Massapequa fact.
Sure.
I've heard at her house in Malibu, she has an underground mall. Have you ever heard that?
I have. I have.
Do people work in the stores in her?
Presumably.
They're just trapped down there?
I think so.
As I understand it.
Yes.
It's like the mall is like a tongue-in-cheek way to display her belongings.
Ah.
Oh.
Why am I defending her?
No, that makes her sound worse.
I'm not defending. Yeah. It's much weirder. But somebody had a show, like a one-man show about working in the mall underneath Barbara Streisand's house, which is nice.
Oh.
Wow. And they followed up with a theater fact. Ugh.
It's okay. We're not judging.
Theater
this is not
fact.
Going well.
Oh, boy.
Theater fact. Yeah. Ryan Reynolds, bullet hole. It's going bad.
It's going very well.
Also, I do have to correct the record and say that my dad is not a doctor of pharmacology. He is simply a pharmacist.
So is mine. And
I have a weird amount of people that I've liked for no reason whose dads are also pharmacists.
It's really weird.
Like, Janice and I, like, there's 1,000 people who work at SNL, and we like a beeline for each other.
We did, yes.
Aww. Pharmacist dad.
I think Danny Smith would have something to say about that coincidence.
Yeah.
I got goosebumps just thinking about it.
There we go. That's one of our Family Guy writers who says that all the time.
Do you think as young men, your father's dreamed of standing in the corner of a much larger store?
No, it's pushing pills with a knife.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Slowly pushing pills into a bottle. And so were there any shall we say, forgive the pun, perks about growing up the child of a pharmacist? Because
the
if there are some extra, I'd
that's
like
pretty fun.
I guess the perks are like your dad's always on the phone with a worried aunt.
You know a lot about drugs, other people's drugs and medications.
Yeah, like I can call him to be like, I have a cold. What do I take? And he'll say just sort of one of two things, depending on where the cold is in your head.
Yes.
No, but we, unlike, this is definitely a sign of like things that don't happen anymore. But when I was little, they would have, like, if they had a work party for like the Christmas party he worked at a pharmacy at a hospital.
So yeah.
They would set up like a little station area for kids to put pills in the bubble in like the blister packs.
Oh my God.
With the like the stamp press thing that would like seal it. And I like have half a memory that he said, oh, well, those were going in the garbage anyway. They were expired. But I'm a little bit like, I think kind of they were.
It's like working for free labor.
It doesn't seem like a coincidence that you only have half a memory of that. Oh, I don't know. God. I don't think they were that expired.
No. Yeah, then we
It's
ate
not
them.
Like drugs hit a certain date and then it's like, and it's not medicine anymore. Like, that makes no sense.
I agree, but my dad would not. I'm like, I'll still take it.
Let's get them on here. I'll
Let's get them both on here.
Get him, make him. Oh my God. He would love a podcast. I got to keep him away from a podcast. Yes. It'll be all over.
Oh my God. My dad's the same way. We just never stop talking. So what made you laugh growing up? What were the things that you were watching or consuming or reading or any listening to that were making you laugh as a kid?
I was a big Whose Line Is It Anyway girl.
Yeah.
That was my
cool.
Your jam.
Absolute corner of the sky.
That's where it
another
started.
Another theater reference.
Oh, God. It just like painted right a company. Fucking target on my own back.
No. Do you have a favorite among the cast?
For me, it was really the combination of, I think it was the ensemble. But yeah, I really, Colin Mochrie was an important figure in my life. Cool.
Now, was he the host?
No, he was the Canadian guy, the bald guy.
Okay, now who was that host with the British guy with the
oh,
round
that's Clive
face?
Anderson.
Clive, that's right. Clive. He was good at his job.
Yeah, I got to go back and watch it. You know, at the time I was like, he's not funny. But I think now I'd have an appreciation for how he kept things moving.
Yeah. It's sort of like me dealing with Goldie, just keeping him moving.
Well, we can get stuck in the mud if you want.
He's ready today,
work.
I can
it's
tell.
It's so good. Yeah.
So, Whose Line Is It Anyway on Comedy Central?
Big Whose Line. Yeah, Comedy Central, big in our house. Yeah. I wasn't like class clown, but it was like giggle with the one weird boy and then he gets yelled at for laughing.
How to win at feminism.
Right How there. To win. Giggle with the one weird boy, the Anna Dresden story. Like a now, fake book?
Was SNL also on the list of things that you watched as a kid?
Yes, I liked it a lot. I mostly watched it in syndication on like VH1 or Comedy Central.
Yeah. Right.
More that Comedy was a big, Central. Like a crisp hour of SNL.
Right. Well, by the way, they could take a tip from that. The hour always makes that show sing. Listen. For sure.
Yes.
The hour, listen.
We'll get in much more into SNL as we go, but nobody bites on this theory of mine, but I contend that, you know, people go back and forth with one minute they're like, SNL's terrible, and then the next minute they're like, SNL's the best, are you watching? I contend the difference between what people say is terrible and what people say is fantastic show is simply one sketch. Like, if there's one funny sketch in a show, only one, people mm-hmm. say, yeah, the show's not good anymore. If there are two, best show ever.
Yeah. I do think it's like SNL's like a baseball game where it's like, you're right. If two exciting things happen, that was the incredible.
Right.
Like it's just a public utility. Like it's going to happen and like, you'll take what you're given.
Right.
Yeah.
I totally like if it feels like something is happening in the room, that's very exciting.
Yeah.
And it can be, that's like a feat to pull off with 400 people in the audience. And yeah, especially after COVID, like audiences just weren't used to sitting in groups and watching the same thing at the same time. So it took why am I talking about COVID and SNL?
No, I think you should be asking yourself, why do you question like half of the things you say? Because half the time you're like a theater note.
I know. I do think,
it's okay.
You know, you
I like
off,
the fake book.
Thank you. Yeah. I need more medications, I guess. I call Dad.
Call Dad.
Hey, Dad.
Anything good expiring lately?
Hey, Warren, what's up?
Is his name Warren?
You bet.
Oh, I love it. What a great name. So, okay, you're laughing at SNL. Whose Line Is It Anyway? You're giggling with the weird boy in school and he's getting in trouble. Does this roll into high school and college? Did you perform? Did you start doing more stuff with your comedy at that point?
Yeah, so we had a improv club in ninth grade.
Wow.
And it was immediately shut down. Our big performance was at halftime of the big lip sync contest, which was
halftime.
Huge in Massapequa.
Oh.
Picture a girl with curly hair. It's up in a ponytail. She's lip syncing out tonight from Rent.
Oh.
And then at the biggest chorus, she undoes her hair and shakes it and glitter flies everywhere.
Wow.
And people go insane. We didn't have Drag Race. We didn't know about reveals.
Right.
So then they all take a break. The improv club comes out.
Oh.
A boy from Farmingdale High School has come because he's friends with someone in the group. He immediately says the F word in a scene with me. The club gets shut down.
No way.
That rise and fall, I'll be chasing it my whole life. It was too electrifying.
Yeah.
Did you get yelled at as a group, or was it just understood that it was over?
I think it was understood that it was over.
Wow.
You don't do improv when people are expecting a break and then also swear. Like, yeah. That's two pretty big problems.
Was there a gasp from the audience, or was it a mixture of like kids laughing and a gasp? Or
here's the thing, I don't think there was enough audience paying attention to foment a united reaction sound.
Right.
People were kind of like, are we supposed to be watching this? Because
yeah,
we were told there was a break.
When did the hot girls come out and sing lip sync Pour Some Sugar on Me?
Oh my god.
What was the name of your improv group?
It didn't have one. It was just Improv Club.
Well, God bless you for that.
Yeah.
God
for
bless.
For not having a pun name for your improv troupe.
It didn't even get that far.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I did drama club, but like wasn't talented and would like audition for everything and like not get parts and then be like, well, I'm in charge of props.
Right.
And they'd say, no one's fighting you for that. And just like kind of stand in the back of rehearsals and watch the more talented kids rehearse and be like, your cross started too soon.
Right.
You're supposed to cross later.
Like, right. I love that. So right. you're nerding out with the technical stuff in the back, just trying to take whatever power you can get.
Well, because like the technical theater guys, they were up in the like the light loft.
Cat
that loft. Had its own kind of politics and like ladder.
Sure, yeah.
I was just like prop girl.
Yeah.
And they gave me access to the prop closet and I would eat my lunch in there.
Oh, yes. Oh, this is getting great. We may have to add some sad violin music to that because
please.
That was just awesome.
I was so happy.
Were you using a funny big fork when you would eat your lunch?
Wish.
Eating your rubber chicken in the prop closet.
I was eating a fork appropriate to the scene.
Now, so if you're the prop person, do you do that stereotypical hilarious thing of like when the lights are dark, you're darting on and off the stage, placing your props?
Yes. Like Amon?
Yeah. I'm sure I did that at some point, but my main memory was the prop table that was in the wings.
Yeah.
That would have masking tape squares, just the perfect size for the prop, and it would go there. And I would go insane when people would put their own, like, their drink on the prop table. That's not a prop.
Were you at that point feeling that there had been a fall from grace because you were in an improv scene where someone had sworn and now you were relegated to backstage? Or was there not a sense of it having been an arc?
I think it was like I got a taste of the stage and I was going to do whatever it took to be close to it.
Yeah.
Okay. The prop stuff, is that high school that we're talking?
That's high school, yeah.
Okay, so did this carry into college?
You bet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Props
I was not
going to
take... No, I auditioned for NYU and got in.
Yeah.
And just through sheer force of...
Was that shocking to everyone that the person doing the props was now getting into NYU for theater?
I got to ask them. I'll get them together. When I hang up with you guys, I'll...
Yeah, you left them in the dust
fast. Like, who?
You don't care.
There definitely is the thought of like, okay, it's a high school in Long Island. We're near Broadway. There's like eight girls who are gunning for Broadway. And like six of them can sing. Two of them are freaky prop girls. And who's going to make it?
Right.
Oh, yes.
Do you audition for NYU or do you like write essays like a conventional college?
It's a both.
Okay.
That's awesome.
What's the audition like? Is it?
You do two monologues and then for people, I guess.
Dramatic or humorous?
It has to be contrasting.
Oh.
So it can be, I feel physically ill talking about
what did you
the college audition process.
Oh, really? I so want to hear some of it.
Oh, God.
I so want to hear
the most exciting thing about my college audition was it was at one of the, it was like either Ripley Greer or like one of the big audition studios, like on 42nd Street. And everyone was all abuzz because right down the hall, rehearsing for a show was none other than Chita Rivera. And people were aware of it.
Oh, that's perfect New York City level excitement.
Oh, yeah.
I used to rent studio space at Harlequin. Did you ever go there? And it smelled like ivory soap, and it was something like $8 or $12 an hour and practice my Neil Simon scenes with my acting partner.
Oh, God. I would
the
love
soup,
to see
it's too peppery. It's too peppery. Like
Barefoot in the Park. Do you ever just wonder, what were we doing? Like, just stop.
I mean, I was under the delusion that, like, because I now I think I'd be better because it's very clearly visually who I would have to be in any scene. It's like, you're the insane, weird dad or, like, the fucking weirdo behind the counter or the grump boss. But back then, it was like, you're not a leading man. You're not really a character. You're not handsome, but you're not like a freak. So it was like, it's just a guy saying stuff that was written.
Yep. Just a guy saying stuff that was written.
Yeah.
That's
right.
You, exactly. Just like a bunch of the sons and daughters of pharmacists in a room pretending to have experienced any emotion.
Yeah, or life.
Any life.
So bad. It's so cringy, you're right, to think back on. But so you audition with your contrasting monologues, which we may or may not get into what they were from, at least.
Spoon River Anthology.
I think mine was from The Owl and the Pussycat. I did have a Spoon River Anthology monologue book.
Yes, great question. Oh,
really important.
Amazing.
I forget what my other one was from.
Okay.
But let's
like
all sit
don't.
Here together until I remember.
Yeah, I know. The way your eyes darted around there made me feel like maybe you remembered it.
I feel like you did remember, and now you're acting over remembering because you don't want to talk about it with
very
convincing amnesia.
Am I telegraphing? I'm telegraphing the emotion. I'm not feeling it. Honestly, what you saw, that eye dart, you're right. I did have an eye dart. You're not crazy. You did see what you saw.
I did.
It was me remembering a book that I purchased from Barnes & Noble called Acting is Everything, : How to Make It as an Actor in Los Angeles.
Yes!
Los Angeles, wow.
Time to dust that off.
Written by Flebo Dazebu.
You've heard of him. The best, Flebo. I got to see all his pictures.
Oh, my God. Wow, it really, it was the perfect, it paints a picture of like someone who's like, I'd like to be an actor in Los Angeles. Let me go to Barnes & Noble and purchase a book to learn. And it was really good advice. Like, you know, if you are shaped like a penguin, send the casting director a little penguin to put on her desk afterwards so that when she sees it, she'll think of you.
Oh, yes. Wow.
Numerology for your stage name, very important.
Oh, wow. Oh.
And I would sit in the bubble bath and highlight it. Oh, yeah. And that was my preparing. I'm like not I won't quit acting. I don't like it. I don't want to do it. I'm not good at it. No one wants me to do it. I can't stop.
By the way, this is not
Do you
true.
Ever look back at what you highlighted?
I know that I have the copy somewhere. If I find it, I will send you pictures.
Because yes, one of my prized possessions is I have F. Scott Fitzgerald's Great Gatsby. It was a used copy I purchased, and it was highlighted by a total moron with notes in the side that are like, God? ? You know, like this person who just didn't understand it at all. And I've always had the idea that maybe this was a potential business where I could do like a penguin library of the classics with the wrong parts underlined and a dunce commenting in the sides. As a comedy book, but anyway.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Yes.
All right, so Tish better have my money, and they got it.
Oh, my God.
You can use that whenever you want now. Did you continue?
When would I want to?
I'm sure, you know what, it's going to come up. You're going
to
say thank
Welcome
you.
Welcome to my world.
I knew Goldie was waiting
on that.
No, but since you auditioned to get in, and you did, congratulations.
Thank
what
you.
Kind of stuff did you do in your college career when you were there, acting-wise?
So I went to a studio called Playwrights Horizons that basically it's for the prop mistresses who want to be thespians to try to trick them into just doing props. Where you learn, like, it's multi, what's it called?
Disciplinary.
Thank you.
Ooh, oh, very good.
Do you ever not know the word disciplinary and then someone says it?
Yeah, it just feels happened.
yeah, so you kind of learn everything and their hope is that they've not sent you to a life in the circus without saying, like, you probably should not be an actor.
Right.
What's college-level props? Like, what could you not know about props that someone really could big. Tell you?
Really sharp and scary. Yeah, well, it was, like, stage management. So, like, writing down lighting cues and sound cues and blocking notation. And
I can still hear our, like, stage manager tech woman's voice from high school, just booming voice calling out for the other techies to be in the right places at the right time. And
Queen. Yeah. Oh, yeah. In her dominion.
Yeah. Karen Lois, shout out. Now, so you're in New York, you're ostensibly performing, although they're trying to sort of herd you into another career path. How does that go from that to writing to SNL? How does that process start?
Yeah, like a phoenix from the ashes, I joined another improv group.
Yes.
Love it.
It's amazing. It's actually really beautiful the way, you know, I found a way to go on.
And this one's called Don't Say Fuck.
That would be an incredible name for an improv group.
I know.
Oh, boy. Yeah, and then I kind of, it was 2006 is when I started college, and that is like the height of UCB kind of catching on as a religion.
Yeah.
And I did that, and that sort of was the natural ramp from experimental theater to screaming in basements.
Were you in college doing that at the same time, or was that a post-college?
Yes. Yeah, I was in college doing that, which I was like very territorial about, like, there's me and two other shy 18-year-olds here, and we're all really aware of each other.
Yeah.
Did you think about dropping out of college to just do that? Because my thought would be, if I was doing that, well, I'm just doing the real thing. Why do I need to read more Neil Simon?
Absolutely. When I got onto our college improv team, I called my parents and was like, I'm not sure if I'll be able to continue my classes. Yeah. Like, I didn't know if it was a professional group or not. Like, I truly thought I got on Broadway.
That's amazing. Were you doing stand up at all?
I started after college. I think I was just so sick of, like Goldie saying, with the Harlequin rooms that smell weird, like just paying. And at that point it was $21 an hour for a small room, which is,
I'm old. Yeah.
It's not, the inflation has not been kind to improv rehearsal spaces. Yes. And then paying the coach. And I was like, I just don't want to get people in a room to do comedy. So then I started doing open mics and that felt bad. So I kept doing it. And I started working Reductress, which is like the Onion.
I just want to say, because I saw that on your resume, how much I love the Reductress. And the thing I say to myself whenever I see it, or when I tell someone about it, or when I forward something, I say, these people never miss. They never miss.
That's incredible. Nice. Yeah.
So it's many really funny, like, specific takes that are just perfect. Like, little gems. I'm not kissing your ass. I had no idea you were affiliated with that till I was, like, Googling about you before we did this. But it's something that I really admire.
And Never Miss would be an amazing title for a Reductress book.
Yes. Well, I don't know. Elon Musk just came out and said The Onion and is done. Did you see that? Not funny anymore.
No.
Wow.
Not funny anymore.
Didn't he try to buy it?
I think probably.
He tried to make his own Onion a couple years ago, right?
Weird.
He tried to hire a staff of people to write his tweets and make him appear funny, which is like me going, like, put me in the NBA.
Right.
You know, if I have enough people.
just shoot my shots for me, and then I'll stand there afterwards.
Has there ever been a less funny person than Elon Musk?
Well, yes, but he's not funny. I mean, there's an ocean of not funny people,
yes,
right?
Ivanka Trump?
Yeah, she's less funny. I would say somebody like Dwight Eisenhower. Just probably never funny.
He's a funny little guy.
He looks funny.
He looks like a funny guy.
All right, so you're the toast of Broadway. In an improv, you know, you're out with Cheetah Rivera every night at Sardi's, partying to the hilt. Does this now, how long before SNL started to happen?
I graduated in like 2010, and then I got SNL in 2016, which is so funny because, like, as a grown person, I'm like, oh, that's good. That was fast. Yeah. But at the time, it felt like I am a single mother with 12 children and I'm 80 years old. I have worked for this.
Well, did you know people who had quicker success? Is that why?
NYU? Yeah, yeah. Like going to school with all the most talented and moneyed,
right?
Hot
NYU.
Kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it felt like a personal attack.
Well, it was.
Yeah, that's true. It was primarily about me.
Most people's lives are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Specifically me, not other people.
Right, just you.
It's not like other people think it's about them. It's that other people also think it's about me.
Yes, I'm starting to get that. Yes. I'm starting to get that here. But give us the... Okay, so there's got to be a story, right? What's the story of how from you... being mad at your friends who are, you know, an understudy on Broadway for making it, to getting the writing job on SNL. Like, what started it? What was the spark for that story?
The spark. I think I stopped drinking for 1 week.
Amazing. Wow, that's great.
So I stopped drinking the week I wrote my pack. I was going to do the whole other story, but that is the truth. I was like, I have this other thing I'm working on called alcoholism. And what if I stopped for a little bit and then I achieved every dream I've ever had? Yeah. I was like, oh, I should probably keep going with this.
And I read that you have, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's actually another thing we bonded on at an after party. Mm-hmm. They sat us next to each other. We were eating dinner, right? Remember?
Yeah.
It was an after party.
Yeah, we were in the dumpy fuck section, remember?
Yeah, exactly. And you were like, hey, dumpy fuck, you're also drinking water.
Surely that
sneaker
that,
girls.
There was no sign for that, totally. Right? Dumpy fuck, they can't do that.
No, it was unspoken. Yeah, yeah.
Well, so there are three very healthy, happy people on this podcast who are not drinking. Very taking their lives very seriously.
There we go.
Yes. I'm glad to hear that.
No, you know, it's like years of writing and learning from funnier people. And then Chris Kelly knew me from Reductress and I submitted a packet. But yeah, I was like, let me stop obliterating myself for 1 week.
Yeah. And that's what happened.
Write a thing.
And that is what, wow, that's incredible.
Okay, so maybe I have it out of order. Did How to Win at Feminism, was that before SNL?
That came out, I guess it came out that year. Yeah, we wrote it. It took a year and a half or so before that.
Did you
that.
Sell a
so
proposal? Is that how it came
Yeah,
together?
Well, Beth Newell and Sarah Pappalardo, they're the co-founders. They sold the proposal and then I supported them and wrote some of the material for that book. So yeah, they had been through the entire book proposal process, which is a full-time job.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it actually costs money. It's like owning a horse to write a book. Like, this isn't going to make me any money. It's just a thing that would be kind of nice.
Yeah, right. Goldie also wrote a very funny book and has a similar, I feel.
No,
like,
I actually have the opposite story where I did make some money and then it performed so poorly that it's become a giant embarrassment. Like, I wrote the proposal and the proposal thing, it's that thing where you don't know anything about the process you're entering into. So you're able to master it because you stupidly have no fear. And you don't realize it's hard because you don't know anything about... You're so ignorant that it just works. And then were you to do it again, you would screw it up completely.
Right.
That's what happened to me, was I entered blind and it was like, here's everything. And then I screwed it up and it was embarrassing.
Well,
not the book itself, but
no, the book is not embarrassing. That's all anyone cares about. It's hilarious. Look at it. He still can barely talk about it. It's like talking about Vietnam and Massapequa. You just can't do it.
No one told me about that.
I may be totally wrong.
No one's left to tell you. They're all dead.
Right. God damn.
They're all in some village back in Quezon. I don't know the area so well. I just go on for movies. All right. So SNL, what is that day like? Like you call Warren on the phone and say, Warren, put the pills down. Guess what?
I got news.
Oh, yeah. What did I do? I remember being on a toilet. I didn't want to succeed in front of anyone, so I went to the toilet.
Oh, I'm surprised you didn't go back to your old prop closet.
Oh, my God. Can I tell you something, though? I've been having dreams about returning to the old prop closet every night since I purchased a new mattress.
Oh, what? That's bizarre.
Every night. I'm in my old high school. I'm walking down the hallway, and I think I should go to the prop closet. And then I turn right. And then I wake up.
Whoa.
Wow. Get there. Is it something about the posturpedic positioning of your body that's reminding you of that?
My spinal fluid is allowed to fully flow into my
matriculate.
Brain.
Matriculate. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So you're clearly very uncomfortable celebrating yourself. I'm getting this from this. You love running yourself down. You don't like celebrating yourself.
This is true. This is accurate.
Punch myself in the face. Yeah. Yeah. You think you don't need Zoloft anymore, and then you hear yourself on a podcast, and you're like, God damn it.
Were you happy when you got it, or was your immediate, yes. or were you immediately alarmed?
It was exciting, and then it was exactly what you're talking about with the book, where you're like, oh, cool, let me do this, that, zeep, zop, zoop. And then, like, by the fourth week, I was like, I can't believe how confident I was the first week.
Right. Well, I feel like they make sure.
What sort of happened that led to that? Was it that when they do the rehearsal and then you saw all the sketches and you had one in there and it didn't go well or something? Or was it just...
Oh, not even, like... I mean, I think I had a pretty good on-ramp. Like, I got something in the first week, which is...
Well, that's great.
What was that?
It was
a feeling.
It was super exciting.
Which sketch was it?
And, you said what? Kate plays this old Hollywood actress.
The cinema talk?
The round actress great. Round table.
Round table, yes.
Great. Yeah. I still have the cue cards in my garage.
Oh, my God.
And I go out and sit and look at it like, yes. it was just like I became more nervous the longer I was there, I think. Like the first week, I was just so overwhelmed that I was kind of...
Yeah.
Everything felt fake. Like how stressed could I be if none of it felt real? So it was like, okay, well, I'm at 100% super saturation of I can't fucking believe what's happening. So anything else that happens beyond that, I'm not going to react to because it's already like my jaw's on the floor. It can't go further.
Yeah.
But so do you remember who the host was your first week?
It was Margot Robbie.
Oh, wow. Yes.
Yeah. And she and I had been on an episode of Pan Am as an extra.
That's
when I joined SAG-AFTRA.
Yes.
And she very sweetly said that she remembered me, which I was like, that is one of the craziest lies I've ever heard.
That's one of the ways you move to Hollywood and succeed is
right.
the blatant lie that the person wants to hear.
Yeah. Yes. I had a connection today.
totally.
Well, and so also you come to SNL right as the terrible election of 2016 is ramping up. Is that right, too? You were there for that moment? That must have been a horrifying moment around there.
It was so crazy. I felt every feeling so hard for a year with no Bud Light.
Just worried that Hillary was going to win or what?
that was a squeaker. I was very concerned. It was...
Yeah, wiping the brow.
Phew. I know. I woke up in the morning, it was all over.
Hey, well, only one of them has been an SNL host, so there you go.
That's true.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I had four normal weeks before the election. That was real fun, I got to say. Yeah. I liked
that. Do you think that had something to do with you, because you said 4 weeks before. Do you think that election had something to do with you having more anxiety around the show?
Probably. I don't think it helped.
Yeah.
It didn't really help anybody.
It was like, oop, dissociate. Here we go.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
I kept my two young daughters awake so they could see the first female president.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And they're still awake. They've not gone back to bed.
What did you even say? Because then you have to be in like father.
I said, Daddy made
wisdom.
A mistake, I no. think. I don't know. I mean, right.
Time to go to
well,
bed.
Well, you know, it's going to be a complicated process. Maybe we rejoin this in the morning and I'll never turn CNN yeah. on again for you.
God, to turn to were your you? Own daughters and say, let's put a pin in this. Yeah. Let's circle back.
In 4 years. I'll well,
and Anna, were you
years.
In? Were you in the office? Like, because yeah. that's a, it was a Tuesday night, right? So that's like usually a late night. So, because I yeah. remember going on Wednesday morning, and it was very, very emotional, and it was just awful. Just
yeah, I didn't like how I felt.
Yeah,
it felt bad. Yeah. yeah, like I remember, we were all there working, and like the producers were all dressed up. For it was everybody was like, it's like your daughter's like first female president is great.
Yeah.
And people, there was some lip service paid to like, I mean, maybe write something on Monday just in case.
Oh, wow.
Like either way.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe yeah. just have something in the bank. Mm-hmm. And I did not. Right. And then it was when he won Florida, which I think was around like 7 or 7:30. That I, it was when the numbers were starting to get a little bit like, uh-oh. Wait a minute.
Wait a minute, yeah. what's happening?
The New oh York Times God. Needle, yeah, the New I York will Times never forget. Needle.
Oh, the needle. I was staring at that all day.
Yeah. Just if I ever run into Nate Silver, I just want to grab him by the lapels and shake him and then stuff his head into some dip.
Dip?
That's a very specific beat down you've got planned for Nate.
We can all hear the sound of Nate Silver's head going into some dip. It's a very specific sound. But when Florida was called for him, I just numbly went downstairs to the J. Crew in the floor, the concourse of 30 Rock, and bought two sweaters and slippers.
All comfort purchases.
It's like, I need sweater, slipper.
Need
I just
cocoon.
Purchase sweater. That good. And I still have those sweaters.
Nice. Kind of. Yeah.
But I bought I brought a bottle of Martinelli's sparkling cider in my fridge because I didn't trust that they would have.
Right.
You got to bring your own Martinelli's to celebratory events. Just
true.
To.
That's a great. That's such a great product, by the way. They don't get enough
incredible.
Credit, and Goldie. I feel certain that you kind of agree with this.
Like, I actually don't. I mean, I torture myself because I'm like, I'm not going to replace alcohol with sugar. I just have sparkling water.
That's
yeah. Oh, yeah, God.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. If I want sugar, I'll eat ice cream. I'm not going to waste much it rather. On apple juice like a toddler. No offense.
Oh, my God.
I would much rather have Martinelli's than actual champagne. Like, the taste is just weird,
champagne you know. Sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, even when I drank, I didn't like champagne. It was like, why is this? Stop telling me this is fancy. It's not. It's bad.
It is the cotton candy of alcohol. Just the volume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's less the taste and more like a special dark bottle of something
right.
is hard to open and now I'm yeah. sipping it. It oh, has I'd nothing
love,
to do.
I'd love to
it's the process.
Take two bottles and pop them into Nate Silver's eyes.
Well, more. Nate's still getting it. I just love the whole idea behind Martinelli's that like an Italian family. We're getting in on this champagne
thing.
Think
about that.
The French got all the shit. We're getting in on this champagne thing. We got to think of a new angle. And they did it.
Did you have any thought when Trump was elected? I thought, okay, I know he's presenting a certain way, but he's lived in New York his whole life. And he's like a fancy guy. He's just doing this for show. And then he's just kind of going to do normal stuff with maybe even a little liberalism thrown in.
I definitely had that, but I think it was not from a place of actual thoughts, but sort of the mindset that Jackie Kennedy was in when she's like scraping the blood and brain and skull Jesus. Like back towards her husband's head. Like that kind of magical thinking of like, it will go. That's not where it goes if I put it over here.
If right. I just gently pat it back in place.
Pat it.
Be up and having sex with other women in no time.
Oh, here, go there.
Go
honey,
there.
Someone shake a titty, please.
Oh, God. Yeah, no, but Goldie, I felt that way. I mean, I actually
I
felt at the time, of course, I kind of have that weird thing where I get excited when everybody's really mad.
So yeah,
like
you do,
it's sort
you
of
do.
Like there's that little bit of that sort of devilishness on election night of like, oh, my God, look at everyone freaking out. But I also thought Trump would be kind of funny as a president. Like I thought he would be less harmful, way more funny. And
it was great what he did in the primaries to the people I loathe, like Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio and Jeb Bush. Like how he dispatched of them was awesome.
Yeah,
right.
He's going to do the same with DeSantis, I think. It's already, I can feel myself falling back into it when Trump insults DeSantis. I'm kind of like, yes.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. We're all losing it politically. Now, back to SNL. So you answered one of my questions where you got a sketch on the first week, which is unheard of, really, and amazing. What's like an encounter that you had with a host that you were just saying to yourself, even in the moment, like, I cannot believe I'm talking to this person about this sketch of mine?
Oh, kind of all of them. I can be starstruck by people I don't even know or like. I'm trying to, I guess like Will Ferrell, that was kind of.
Yeah, that was.
And he's just special. So, he does this thing where he makes you forget how important he is to you. Well, everybody like that, he was like on my cast that I grew up with. And there was just something about him that kind of removed the starstruckness.
Yeah.
Where he was like, isn't this so crazy? I can't, oh man, it's so weird. And like, not in a fake way. It just, it felt very genuine.
Yeah.
No, you know, he's the nicest guy. He's awesome.
I also may have enjoyed his era of movie stardom more than anyone's.
Yeah. It's really nice. He's so good.
And Goldie, I agree with you there. Like that whole, like, you know, Step Brothers, even his soccer movie, which is like oddly watchable. And when he would pop up in a movie in that era, like Wedding Crashers, hilarious.
Yes.
So, but when you were there, you know, how long were you there before you started getting inklings of, oh, I may be getting promoted to management here? Is that something you wanted? Or was that something you just felt you were in a wave where they were saying, hey, you know, we're thinking of, you know, getting a different voice going?
I don't know. I think you're always kind of wondering if you're going to get fired for being incompetent or be made the king for being perfect. Like, it's never like, I wonder if I'm a worker amongst workers who's like contributing and then going home to my life. You're like, am I the best or the worst?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I was aware that I was being asked to look after certain things, like sketches or like, I started working on the monologue a lot.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Which was tough because I was very shy. And like, I think the monologue is kind of like customer service, that you're like, you've got two clients where it's like the host wants to say their incredible thing. And then the show is like,
how does it come together? Yeah. So you meet with the host. I mean, do you pitch them or do you listen to what they say and then come back with a few ideas for how they might do that?
Yeah, the way it tends to go, I think like I've listened to John Mulaney talk about how they worked on the monologue with them. And it sounds much more like friendly and kind and like genuine, and we're working together. Like I think that like what it was for me was like, it was a little bit like writing a celebrity's autobiography. Like you'd meet with them and ask them if they had ideas and then ask them like sort of interview questions to kind of get to. I mean, like obviously someone who's a comedian would have their own material that they come in with, but like, yeah, kind of find out like, oh, I like Anya Taylor-Joy was like, when I was a little kid, I used to carry an egg around with me in like a little sack because I loved birds so much that I wanted to hold an egg in case a bird happened. And I was like, well, that's what the monologue's going to be about. It's Bird Girl. And then ultimately was not what the monologue was about. It was like, that's the best thing I've ever heard.
I know. That's amazing.
That's an amazing factoid about her. Oh. I can picture her being someone who like to carry an egg around. That's why it instantly fits.
Yes.
It makes sense. Yeah, she was like a little farm kid, like in The Witch, which is nice.
Oh, God, that's a scary movie.
Say JC was host this week. Can you give us a taste of like how God. It might come together?
Oh, yeah. God. I'd be like, oh, where are you staying? Do you live in the city? That's the other problem is that I'm not personable. So like I had this like weird contentious relationship with every host where it was like, okay, well get your shoes on because we're going to your grandmother's house. Like I think that's like the energy I gave every host. I'm not charming. I'm not friendly. Not I'm not social.
I don't get that.
Yeah, I don't get that from you at all.
Yeah, okay. No, you're running yourself down again, Anna. Come on. This is not a Zoloft problem. This is a you problem.
Yeah, you're right. I'm gonna do a power stance, believe in myself. I would ask like where do you live?
Where do you live?
Where do you what do you
do
live?
You like house.
Hello.
Your dad's a pharmacist.
Pharmacist dad, yeah, like music background. Like ask them like, did you watch the show growing up?
Did anyone say no?
Yes. It was incredible when people were like...
Russell Crowe. Were you there when Russell Crowe hosted?
No, but I heard all about it.
Okay.
he didn't know about the show or what?
He would like improvise lines and like for every sketch. And then one time Leslie Jones was like, just read what's on the cards. She just like lost her temper. And he was like, why? They can just fix it in post. And she was like... That's it. And she like walked off the set. She's like, somebody explained to him how this show works. And she just walked off set. Then, you know, came back, but he didn't realize it was live. Until like
I did not
Friday
hear
night.
That.
Yeah. I mean, here we are on Tuesday and we'll fix it.
It was Friday.
It's Saturday.
It was Friday when he said that. It was in the middle of rehearsal on a Friday before the show on Saturday. So,
that's incredible.
Yeah.
God.
Oh, no. it's not good.
Yeah.
You are clearly a fan of wordplay. We've had a little bit of it on here tonight, but I watching
tonight.
Always.
It felt very showmanlike that you said tonight.
Tonight, you're on the show. Oh, tonight we got him. But so when you wrote, because you wrote the guy who just got a boat, for Weekend Update, which were very funny. What's the guy's name who does it?
Alex Moffat.
Right, he's perfectly cast. I mean, he looks like a guy who just bought a boat. But those are it's just basically a drum solo of wordplay.
Yeah.
So like, were those fun to like come up with? Because everything's in bounds. Like, and the worse the pun, like the funnier the bit is.
Yeah, Alex really was like a wrestling heel of comedy. Like if people were on the floor groaning, that was as good as a laugh for him.
Oh, he and I would get along very well.
Oh yeah, just full comedic terrorism. But yeah, we would write. That was me, Alex, and then Pete Schultz and Josh Patton, two of the Update guys, would just sit together and kind of drip the poison into the cup and really gross.
Yeah.
Those are some of my favorite rewrite tables. It's just a bunch of sons and daughters of God sitting around saying the worst things they can think.
And getting away with it.
Frantically write it down.
Well, it all came out very funny. Now, you also wrote another book. Am I wrong in this?
Yes.
And it has one of the best titles in a book that I've ever heard. It's called How May We Hate You.
And see, now, that's not what you'd expect it to be. You'd expect it to be How May We Help You.
Yes. Tom Gamble would fall out of his chair.
Yes.
I know.
Oh my God.
He would. But so tell us, because I read about kind of where this came from, but I think it's an interesting story. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. I tried to wait tables when I was day jobbing in New York, and it's hard to carry tray with drinks on it, and I couldn't do it.
Through
that job, I met concierges. There, we had like a concierge evening event for them. And this is how I learned that for a 7-course tasting menu, you don't bring a full glass of wine for each course. This is the concierge who told me, you know, it's just supposed to, you're putting into the system as a full glass and we're going to die. Just do a sip. And I was like, oh, all right. That's how you do it. Great.
Yeah, lightweights.
All right, idiot. you're asking me for less alcohol? What the fuck? yeah, that's kind of how I got this day job as a concierge in hotels, but I wasn't an in-house concierge. I worked for a ticket broker that would hire agents to work in desks in the hotel, and they would pay like the way that a barber would pay a chair rental. They pay a desk rental to the hotel and put their agents in and sell their ticket stock with their like $60 markup in the lobby of the hotel, because people would be like, oh, well, it's the concierge. Yeah.
We'd like
us
to
a
see
deal.
A show. So,
there are fake concierges
out
there.
I didn't realize that until right now.
And I can sleep at night because part of what we were trained to do was to write down the face value and then what we were charging and then show them and say, this is what it costs and this is what you're paying. And most people would just be so scared of... This is a little bit before the average person over the age of 50 could operate purchasing something on the internet.
Yeah. Right. Yes, right. Yes, yes.
This is back in the swinging days of rose gold and side bangs. Yeah, so like just having somebody in the hotel is like, yes, I will pay $60 more per ticket than...
Right.
I see a value in it. I'd rather pay someone in the lobby of the hotel than wander out to Times Square TKTS.
Listen, sure. What is money even for?
Yeah, but to spend.
Indulge.
Yeah.
Now, would they push a certain show? Like, we're pushing Spring Awakening today, guys. Be sure to hype it up.
Mm. Yeah, so they would buy blocks of tickets, like for Chicago and Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, like the big spectacle shows. I guess Chicago's less big spectacle. We had to tell people that it was sort of a bare bones set because people would come back and be like, where were the sparkles?
Oh, wow.
But like the shows that were kind of reliable. Yeah, the girls were wearing black. I hated it. I met this guy, Todd Briscoe, at NYU, and we were both doing the like, I'm an actor with a day job thing. And we both started this Tumblr that was just like writing down transcripts of interactions with people. Asking, what time does Chelsea open?
Right.
It's the neighborhood, sir. I don't care. You're supposed to give me an answer. As all things did in 2014, 13, it went viral and then we got a book deal.
Yeah.
So.
That's awesome. That's incredible. Awesome.
Books were weird.
Yeah. That's a really cool story and a very funny. I love that too, Goldie. The fake concierge is out there. It's like you have to be careful what you're dealing with.
Before I begin talking to you about my plans for the day, are you a real concierge or simply an outsourced person who has a desk like a barber would in a shop?
Right. Okay. Now that we know.
Who's selling
now
ticket markups because I need to speak to a real concierge.
A real one.
Oh, my God.
So then, you come to the end of it. You've risen to head writer at SNL. And then you decide to leave in December of 21 because you have created your own animated show that you're starting to work on. And I believe it's coming out this July.
It is.
Tell me if I'm wrong. It's called Praise Petey.
Yes.
And you have some big names attached to this. Mike Judge and Greg Daniels. We're back in. We're rolling. So tell us a little bit about this show. How did this idea come up? And I know you're in the middle of working, not working, but you're in the middle of,
I'm in the middle of not working on it.
You're in the middle of not working on it like we all are during the strike. But how did the idea come about?
Yeah, I wanted to write a sketch about a big city doctor lady who moved to the South to like do medicine. This show, Heart of Dixie, is about a big city doctor lady who flunks out of New York and has to go to the country.
Yeah.
Yep. Doc Hollywood.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So like, I thought it would be funny if it was someone who wasn't a doctor who was like, I guess I'll go to the South and be a surgeon.
Right.
Like,
right.
And they just, she's expects people to let her because she's from the city and like, it's just cutting people open. But that is too complicated to get into 4 minutes of a sketch. That's a lot of setup.
Right.
So then I started writing that as a pilot. And then I was like, this is really upsetting. So I should. Like the way that Hollywood shows city people's idea of like you can do whatever you want in the country, which is just insane.
Did you intend it to be animated when you started writing?
I wrote it just as a spec because I didn't have a pilot. I got hired at SNL before I had a pilot written. And so, no, I wrote it like just as a way to show the way that my jokes could translate to half hour. And I wasn't really thinking about having it be a producible thing.
Wow.
Yeah. And then Greg and I were connected and he noted it as a live action script. But then things like we have a character that's a sort of an Alex Moffat type evil ex-boyfriend who's a plank of wood. And he was like, I think that might be tough for live action show. Maybe like maybe it's a person. And
that would have been a fun day of casting.
Right? Yeah, yeah. they're all so ugly. But yeah, and then he started Bandera with Mike Judge, and they said it would be a good animated script. And it's been really cool learning that pipeline. It's super humbling to be a newcomer there. Yeah. But yeah, I have to practice talking about my show in a way that isn't like, it's a stupid piece of crap. I am bad.
You did
well. That's
not
what the question was. The question was, what was your show?
No, but so obviously if it's coming out in July and here we are in May, you're well into the production process of it because we know how long animation takes.
Yeah.
Where can we watch it? Let's start with that.
It will be on Freeform on Friday, July 21st at 10 p.m., but then it'll be on Hulu at midnight, the same night.
Wow.
So we can watch it on Hulu.
Yeah, let's just say Hulu.
But it will have a little Freeform bumper before it, and you can't escape that Freeform bumper unless you close your eyes and cover your ears.
Right.
But it's a nice bumper.
They take a lot of care in their bumper. Yeah, and so you've been very generous with your time this morning. Before we let you go, you mentioned it. You're engaged.
Yay!
I'm engaged.
You're engaged. And you're engaged. And is there a date? I'm sure everyone asks that. Is there a date yet?
I know. It's you and 12 of my aunts in my phone.
Massapequa.
I need to send you towels. What day?
Because they need to be stitched with the date, right?
Right.
It's really... The worst thing my mom ever did to me was give all of my aunts my address with like one or two mistakes per aunt. So now I am in a constant state of talking to my aunts about what they think they might have written wrong on the envelope of the towels that they're sending me. God. It is a full-time job.
And
I don't know if this is current advice, but at least at the time I got married, if you registered at Crate and Barrel, you could return everything for cash.
This is what I've heard. This is what I think. And now what people do is the honey fund.
Yeah, that didn't exist. I'm so
supposedly
old.
Yeah. Towards a honeymoon, but you can just realize this. You can just use the cash for whatever you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just conceptual, basically.
Well, everything's
just
a
send
grift.
Us money. Right.
No. Grift.
Well, I don't like receiving a gift as hard. So it's maybe
shocking.
Just a little. But
where did you meet your fiance?
My fiance? We met on Hinge. I was out in LA working on a show over the summer between seasons of SNL, and we met, and I was like, this person is pretending to not know I work at SNL, because every guy I'd been on an app date with was like shakily handing me a packet
script
across the table.
Oh, God.
No way. Oh, my God.
Nothing makes you feel more physically attractive than giving comedy advice on a first date.
it's a Hinge success story.
Did you find this is Hinge something success. I'm very curious about, because I didn't operate in this world at all. I heard an inkling of this week. And are people using these dating apps as really just career advancing opportunities half the time?
I've heard this about Raya, which I was waitlisted from.
Oh no.
Did you have to give your Tish audition?
Like a college, yeah. It was really wild. They're like, we need to look at our books.
Listen, statistically, some people are going to die, and that's going to open up some spots on Raya.
I mean, I'll be sad, but I'll be happy. Yeah, I've heard that it's mostly networking, that like most people don't actually meet up in person on Raya, which is like the hot girl and rich guy app. Like the famous people app.
Right.
I think the purpose of Raya is just to declare publicly that you're single.
That makes sense.
Right.
But I wasn't on there. I was mixing with the Uggos on Hinge.
And you found your person.
Yes.
And he was like, why is she so mad at me? And I was like, I can't believe this disgusting person is pretending to not know that I got a sketch on my first week.
Oh, that's great. And love grew.
Love grew.
Well, when are you going to tell him?
Oh, fuck. Can you edit this entire podcast?
Someone has to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. So maybe May of next year, we're starting to look at venues, which is fun.
I love it. Nice.
Our main focus is finding a place with a lot of side rooms where people can go and like have side conversations and dissociate if they need to.
There's your word again.
There's my word.
That's the phrase that pays if you're listening at home. Very few of you are. Anna, you've been incredibly generous with your time.
Yes.
Thank you. It's
been so great talking to you. Fantastic stories. Or just to make you feel more comfortable, let me just say, I think we have enough to cobble together something. Yeah.
Something you can handle.
The relief.
Come back on after the show.
Yeah,
yeah,
please.
Just say, it's in there somewhere.
It's in there. We'll find it. JC will find it. She likes you. She'll massage it.
I love her.
Yeah, so again, July 21st on Freeform, and then later at midnight on Hulu, Praise PD. Yes.
I think it'll be fun. And you know what our lead-in is? Is what? Family Guy.
No way! Ooh,
one hour Family Guy, 1 hour
I
Praise
love
PD.
That.
Yeah, I got goosebumps just thinking about it.
we're working together. All
so
right.
Amazing.
Anna
thank
Drezin,
you so much.
Thank you so much for being here. Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Oh, what a fun interview with Anna.
She's
boy,
hilarious.
she dislikes herself more than we dislike ourselves, Goldie. She kind of outstriped us there.
Yeah.
Felt like amateur hour, you and I.
Yeah. I mean, it's when someone's turning to me for psychological buoyancy, that's not a great sign for them. But.
Never a good sign. All right. And now let's get to a portion of the show we like to call Top 5.
Top 5.
Beautiful.
All right, I hope I remembered correctly. I proposed your top 5 favorite words.
Yes.
You did.
Okay,
you did.
Thank God.
Yeah.
That's what I did. Number 5, Gesundheit. I love when someone sneezes, so I can say Gesundheit. And then I also like when they sneeze, so I can say Gesundwit.
I love when you do that. I love it. Somehow I'm the wordplay criminal, but you can do Gesundwit. Okay, go ahead.
Number 4, these are all real simple words, by the way.
Okay.
Gesundheit is not.
That's the only one that isn't.
I mean,
coming up. Number 4, eat.
What?
It's time to eat. Let's eat. I'm going to eat.
I really overthought this.
This is great.
I love to eat.
Your animal from the
sounds like what it is.
Cookie
eat.
Monster.
Food.
Cookie
eat.
Onomatopoeia.
Number 3. Dick. What a dick. Oh, you dick.
Eat a dick. Yep.
Fuck you, my dick. Yep. Number 2, butt. What's up, my butt? You're a butt. And number 1, my absolute favorite word. No. No.
Wait, oh, these are
nope.
so good.
No. Not going to do it. No, don't care. No, you're wrong. No.
No. No.
No. Just no.
I love
it's
that.
It's not happening. Ugh. What you think is not what is. No.
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 Yet. 9.
Those are great. I really overthought these.
That's okay. There are no wrong answers.
Okay, but these are words that I use that I really enjoy using that maybe people don't normally use. So.
Okay.
As a voice coach, we ask. I always ask the voice student to come up with a way to sort of let all the air out and loosen their lips, starting with a F word. And one student I had, this guy named Justin Pierre, he came out and said phlebotomy. So I always thought phlebotomy was one of a funny, hilarious. I thought it was a funny word. So that
phlebotomy.
One just out of nowhere, I'll say that word.
Love that.
I use this word a lot. Lummox. Quit being
that's a good one.
Fucking lummox.
Good one.
Okay.
It is.
I use this. Well, this is maybe often used to describe me when I'm in a mood. Pugilistic.
Quit being
so pugilistic.
Pugilistic.
That's someone. The first time I heard it, I was like, I don't know what that means. So I had to look it up. Now I use it all the time. This one is another word that's sort of like I learned from Stu's grandfather. Reconnoiter. So I use it all the time, but I don't know why. I just love it.
Yeah.
I just love that word.
It's a good word. Let's reconnoiter.
Words are power.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, power is power too.
Oh boy. And then my number 1. Is the word synesthesia, because I love the meaning of it. It's like when you combine senses to in one thing, like when you see notes in music, like when you see like a color in music, or you see, you know, you associate different senses with other senses.
I thought it was like burping and farting. Same thing.
In color.
We're six half dozen.
That's called furping, my friend.
Furping. I never heard that one.
Oh, barting.
Shirt. I should have.
All right. Shirt. My top five words. Number five, nadir.
Oh,
I like that one.
What does that mean?
Low point. It means a low point.
Oh.
Nadir.
Oh.
Number four, silhouette.
Oh, silhouette.
I love the word silhouette.
Silhouette.
Makes you use a lot of your mouth and throat. Number three, sort of a variation on a Kilborn favorite. Number three for me, fiasco.
Oh,
what a fiasco. Because Goldie, as you know, one of his favorite words is similar to fiasco. Oh, debacle.
Oh, yeah.
Which I always loved him saying. Number two, and this is a made up word, but I love it. Schweppervescence.
Oh. That is a good one.
I think about Schweppervescence a lot. Like yeah, when I'm in a room of younger writers, I say, do you guys even know what Schweppervescence is?
And they don't.
No.
They don't. And number one, you know what? I'm going a different way here. This is going to tug at the heartstrings a little bit. Daughter.
Aww.
Honestly, I feel like I see Goldie roll his eyes. When I read about people having a daughter, young daughter, or hear it in a news story or anything, I feel an instant bond of like, you know, a loving bond.
Aww.
And the word brings that up for me.
Well, that's
so thank
sweet.
You, Levy, for
that's
that.
Nice.
Aww.
Yeah, tell your eyeballs. All right.
Yeah, why don't you grab another pillow, you maniac?
Oh, that pillow knew who was boss, I'll tell you that much. That pillow felt a mild tug. All right, so next week.
Yeah, you wanted to tug on our heartstrings? Keep strings out of this guy's hand.
Oh, my God.
What a tassel. All right, next week's top five. We're going to go pretty simple. Top five movie titles of all time. It doesn't have to be a great movie.
Top five things to tug on. Thank you, your wife.
Oh, you really missed it.
Gooey.
What did you say? Top five movie
top
titles?
Top five movie titles of all time. They don't have to be the best movies. Cool top five titles. We got that next week.
Okay.
All right. And now let's end this week's show like we do every week on a high note. Wow, was that extra long? Are you adding like a quarter second to it
no,
each
but
week?
I should.
Feels like I'm being punked. And anyone want to go in any kind of order?
I'll go.
High note. Okay, go ahead, Goldie.
Yeah, so our friend Craig Kilborn has a podcast called The Life Gorgeous, and he invited me on to be on it. I just had a great time. You can download it.
I saw it on Instagram today. It was very funny, the clip.
Gave me my first job in 2002. And then it's like, to be a guest of his, it's an honor.
Yeah. And it's full circle twice.
Yep.
Twice.
Full circle twice. I'll go.
Sure.
It's a very simple one, although, you know, having Anna on the show is obviously is special for me because she's a nice, dear friend. But I was telling Alec this podcast, I was never a morning person. I hated waking up early. It was just, I was a night person. And this podcast has made me a morning person. And I like it. I like it. I feel like I get more done. So thanks, guys.
Yeah, you have a sense of like you've done something when it's noon.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally. Yeah. We have.
And that you can't do anything else.
I know that.
All right. Well, my high note is we just came off the weekend of Mother's Day. We had a great Mother's Day. I lucked into a great day. I somehow wrote the right words on my card to Tal, which, you know, I felt, but I could tell by her reaction she enjoyed it more. Then the three of us went and saw my mom.
Tal on the pillow?
Yeah, the pillow was mentioned. The tassel was mentioned. So we went and visited my mom and family outside Boston, we came back and we went down to the water at sunset, and like I had Levy say the things out loud that she loved about her mama the most. And just a really, we just had a really great day. So Mother's Day was my high note. Nice one. And at tail end of the show here, we did a great job. We all did great.
Yeah.
Most of us did really well. next week, we have Ike Barinholtz will be here. Ike Barinholtz, actor, funny man.
Very funny.
Ike Barinholtz. He's currently in White House Plumbers on HBO Max, which is very funny as well. I can't wait to talk to him. But thank you all for listening. Thank you two for being awesome.
Thank you.
And we will talk to you again next week.
Talk to Ike next week. No need.
Disgusting display.
That was fun.
Right now.
Schweppervessen.